mentioning about the breakthrough in France, and that's, it really is pretty encouraging that we're going to get some new momentum going, and so we're kind of excited about that. And it just happens that Alex and his family are going to be here, so taking advantage of getting a chance to see them since they're not going to be that far away. And also wanted to read a bit of a letter, a thank you letter from Steve Shaw, our Gideon, who was with us a couple of weeks ago. And kind of encouraging, he just said, it was a great blessing to be a part of your worship service on Sunday, March 19th, and the snow flurry, if you remember that morning, did nothing to dampen your welcome and hospitality. The warm and gracious reception on the part of your congregation was genuinely appreciated. I love meeting the kind, committed Christians you mentor. And then he says, please tell your congregation, from the superb worship band and singers, your tech team, and the awesome, cheerful, and friendly members, that I love their enthusiasm for God. I'm sure that flows from your passion for Christ and preaching his word. Faye and I also appreciated how you pray for each other personally and specifically. It was a joy to participate with you. Thank you especially for your gracious hospitality and prayerful support. We pray that you continue to enjoy God's abundant blessings for you, yourself, and your ministry in the days ahead. If there's anything we can do to assist you, please let me know. Sincerely, Steve Shaw. So beyond just your standard thank you letter, which I guess they'd be required to write, you know, it really felt like they enjoyed participating in the service and the worship and prayer and that. So it's just great to be a part of that. I was going to mention as well, and maybe we can put out a special word, but if anyone is available Wednesday at noon, every Wednesday through Lent, they have been doing a soup lunch at Zion Methodist Church in Seaford. And so I've had a chance to get to two of them. I think I'm going to be at the hospital with Jeff on Wednesday, so this week isn't going to work, but I think Sue's going to get there. But so anyway, what they do is, it's just a brief devotional, 10 minutes, 15 max. And then they pray, and then there are five different soups that ladies in the church have prepared, all homemade soups, which are really awesome. And it's just a time of going and getting some soup and crackers and that kind of thing, and sitting down at the table and just enjoying some fellowship. So that's at noon on this coming Wednesday, will be the last one for Lent. So if you are available, have a possibility of joining in, it's really cool. There's usually about two dozen people there, a little more than that sometimes, in their fellowship hall. And so it would be great to see a few people out there. And it's great soup, and it's all you can eat. And so there's five big containers filled with homemade soups. So anything from clam chowder to minestrone to beef stew to a veggie soup to Filipino noodle something. I don't remember the name. Something noodle. It was a big name that I didn't know. But anyway, it was really, yeah, that's right. So it was, anyway, there's a lot of different kinds that come, and every week it's five new people. So if you're going to be hungry at Wednesday at noon, I think that would be a great thing to take part in on the 5th of April. All right, and then because we do want to pray for Jeff also at the end of the service. He's going into surgery on Wednesday, and is a little more involved maybe than some of the ones he's had before, so it'd be good to remember him as well. And then, of course, you know, we want to be praying for Gwen and Herb, Tammy's mom and her husband as well. They're facing some health issues that are pretty serious, so want to be praying and supporting. And that's where Tammy and Keith will be next weekend as well, down with Gwen and Herb in South Carolina. So just want to remember them as well this morning. So let's continue our trek to Golgotha with Jesus. And today is the trek to Golgotha, but first, Zacchaeus. Rome's oppressive military presence and its heathen religion were much hated throughout all of Israel. Added to that was a centuries-long wait for the fulfillment of the prophecies of a conquering Messiah. The Jewish nation chafed at their loss of freedom and sovereignty, and the national mood was constantly simmering with talk of rebellion and overthrow of the government. Several would-be messiahs had shown up, but their attempts were futile, and their deaths a brutal reminder of consequences that would befall anyone who tried again. Into this seething climate comes Jesus with his tantalizing message of God's power and glory. And so that's kind of what sets up this atmosphere that Jesus comes into, why people are so ripe to grab hold of at least part of his message. You know, unfortunately, they misunderstood a part of it as well. But so he's coming in, and it's easy to understand why the disciples misunderstood, because they were all waiting and had been waiting for centuries for someone to come and be the Messiah, be the deliverer. And so when Jesus shows up, in spite of what he says, he says one thing, they hear something else. And, you know, we could easily be guilty of doing the same thing, I'm sure. So let's look in Luke 19 this morning, those verses, those 10 verses that give us this story. It's kind of an interesting read. And again, it's one of those stories. Did you ever sing the little Sunday school song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he? Climbed up in a sycamore tree to... For the Lord he wanted to see. I couldn't get that line. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, so we sang these little songs, and we know the stories and whatever. But part of it is when we read them over and over and over again, it just becomes the same old, and we aren't really hearing what's going on here. So in the context of the national climate that's going on, the waiting for a Messiah, Jesus coming and speaking words of being the Messiah, people not understanding, the religious rulers not appreciating, and Jesus is going to his already multiple times announced death in Jerusalem. And so he's making this journey, and he's just... For now, we're just like a week out from the beginning of that last week. And in the midst of this, knowing where he's going, knowing what's going to happen to him, knowing how things are going to turn for him, turn against him, he's still, I mean, the amazing thing is, he is still listening, as I mentioned to the Father. He's listening to his Father's prompting. So let's read verses 1 through 4 of Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So Luke indicates here that Jesus was passing through. You know, it's just like our highway system for years. All the major highways went through all the major cities, straight through. And then we've developed this amazing system of beltways that avoid some of the massive congestion, although some of our beltways are as congested as going through town these days. So Jesus was going from the north down into Jericho and out the other side on his way down to Jerusalem. And so it says he was passing through, and then it mentions this man, Zacchaeus, and he wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. In other words, kind of a supervisor of tax collectors. That's the first blank, a chief tax collector. And tax collectors, Zacchaeus was a Jew, but basically he worked for Rome, and he was collecting taxes. And it was known, it was notorious, a notorious practice for usury and collecting more tax than they were supposed to collect. And so then that's why Luke says in here, he was not just a tax collector, but he was wealthy. How did he get wealthy? Basically because he was fleecing his own people. And so he was reviled. I mean, it was like, how could you be one of us and do what you do? It was just hideous. Chris? Oh, Oh, so the root of his word, just for the recording, is root name means pure, and yeah, slight irony in all of that. But so, and it gets better as we go through here. But so here's this man, and he obviously doesn't know Jesus, because the scripture says he wanted to see who Jesus was. So the reputation of Jesus preceded him, of course. Everybody was talking about this guy. Big crowds were following him. And, you know, I mean, when big crowds start following people, everyone else takes notice. And so in his 3 years there of public ministry, there were a lot of people following him, a lot of people talking about him and passing it on to other people. And that's, of course, why the religious rulers were getting so excited about this whole thing. So he runs ahead and he climbs up in a tree, not a very dignified thing to do for a wealthy person, but he really didn't really feel he had much choice. So Jesus was coming through the area where he was, and he decided he wanted to see who Jesus was. And so that's who this person is. And plus, being the kind of person he was, nobody was going to make room for him to get through the crowd either. Basically, I'm sure they just kind of snubbed him and like, So this is who he is, and a real social outcast among the Jews. Number two, in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now, Luke has just recorded that the reason that Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree was to see who Jesus was, though they've not met. So this is one of these things that really intrigues me when I read through these. You know, Jesus went after the day's activities, before he went to sleep, or maybe early in the morning before he get up, he would go and he'd wait for the Father's instruction for the day. Jesus says, "I only do what I hear the Father saying and do what the Father is doing." And so I think he got instructions for the day. And I can just picture the Father going, "Now, Jesus, as you're making your way down through Jericho today, You need to be paying attention, because there's going to be on this main boulevard on the way through, there's going to be some sycamore trees, and there's one specific one, you know, right after the red house. You look up on the right, and there's going to be a man up in this tree. His name is Zacchaeus, and I want you, the plan for the day is to go to his place for dinner. Just invite yourself to dinner." And I can see Jesus going, "Wow, this is going to be interesting." And so, you know, he's just on his way with the whole crowd of people around him, just kind of filling the streets as they make their way through. And then Jesus is looking for this red house, and it's like, there's the red house, there's the sycamore tree. So he's looking up in the tree, wondering, is there really going to be a man up there? And sure enough, here's this little guy sitting up on a big branch up in the tree. And Jesus already knows his name, so he just calls out to him and says, "Come down right away, because I must go to your house today. I must stay at your house." Their little song in Sunday school said, "I'm going to your house for tea," which was a very Canadian thing to say, I guess, in those days. But did y'all say coffee here down here? Yeah. Anyway, that was the chorus part of the thing. I'm going to your house for tea. So here's this amazing interaction. First of all, Jesus stops on his way. He's just making his way through the whole crowd around him. And Jesus stops and addresses somebody up in a tree by name. This wealthy dude up in a tree with all his finery. And Jesus calls him by name and says, "I must go to your house. I've got an appointment with you. I must go to your house today." So number two is Jesus' self-invite. And there was nothing really indicating that Zacchaeus wanted that kind of an encounter. He just wanted to see who Jesus was. "I've heard all this noise about who this Jesus of Nazareth is, and I know he's coming this way, because the hum of the crowd must have been kind of like, you know, the bees when they go from one hive to another and they do that swarm thing. And if you've ever heard a swarm go by, it's really loud. I mean, several thousand bees all flying together. It's pretty crazy. And so Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus's home, this social outcast that nobody wanted anything to do with, wealthy from taking advantage of all the people and taking more tax than they were allowed. And since he was the chief priest, he was also instructing his other tax collectors who worked for him to do the same, and probably taking a cut off of their as well. So not a popular guy at all. Number three, in verse 6, Zacchaeus' response, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So Jesus is coming through. I don't know what kind of effect that had on Zacchaeus, because I'm sure he felt like, I'm up in the branches, partially hidden by the leaves, and I don't think he, as a wealthy person, he was really thrilled with bringing a whole lot of attention to himself, that here I am, and in spite of my position, I'm doing this rather undignified child thing of climbing up in a tree. He just really wanted to see who Jesus was. And all of a sudden, the whole parade stops, and all of a sudden, the spotlight is on Zacchaeus. And Jesus calls him by name. Not just, hey, not, it wasn't just, get down out of that tree, but Zacchaeus, come down, I must go to your house today. And so there must have been some shock, and maybe he was so shocked he fell out of the tree. I'm not really sure. It doesn't really say. He came down immediately, so he could have just fallen out, you know, which I think I might have done if I had been in that situation. But he welcomed Jesus gladly. Here's this amazing turn of events. Over everything Jesus has been teaching his people, you know, they've already, most of them have already heard the Sermon on the Mount and all the things that Jesus has talked about, and all the opening of the way to all the oppressed and the downtrodden and the forgotten and all of those people. And then suddenly he turns his eyes to this wealthy outcast that nobody in the crowd wants anything to do with. Because if he gets down in the crowd, he'll probably start fleecing everybody in the crowd. So it's like, no, thank you, don't bring him down here. So Jesus does that, and Zacchaeus comes down because he's anxious. He's anxious to know more about this Jesus, and probably wants to ask, how did you know my name? You know, because that's pretty weird when somebody in the crowd calls you by name, and you're just like, how did you know who I was? You know, it's a little scary. And so verse 7 shows the reaction of the people, because Jesus makes a social faux pas. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. You know, it's like, you know, it might be equivalent to, you know, Jesus invites himself to the Playboy Mansion with Hugh Hefner, or, you know, it's just like, what? You're going where? What? And so nobody wanted anything to do with this guy. Jesus calls him by name, invites himself to his house, gets invited, and all the people are standing around going, wait a minute, this is Jesus. After everything he's told us, and now he's going to even be friendly to this man? So it was not really well received what Jesus was doing. And why is he taking his time out for this man? He's obviously, this guy's beyond hope anyway. There's no point spending any time with him. And verses 8 through 10 finish this story. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, and this is kind of funny actually, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. If I have cheated, everybody knew that that's all he had ever done, is cheated. But anyway, so if I've cheated, I'll pay them back four times the amount, which was pretty astonishing. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So, a surprising story anyway, but Jesus is just 1 week away from his entry into Jerusalem. With all that's ahead of him there, and even in the midst of this, at this last, is this 11th hour, he hears the Father say, I really desire for salvation to come to the household of Zacchaeus, who lives in Jericho. So, Jesus, would you please remember to look up into that sycamore tree? You know, the one on the right-hand side, right after the red house, he'll be up in the tree waiting for you. And Jesus ends up getting invited probably to a big party, a big feast at the home of Zacchaeus, much to the dismay and disapproval of the crowd around him. And then we see number five is the purpose of this visit. The purpose of the visit was to bring salvation even to this most undeserving creep. What an amazing story of God's love and his mercy. At this time, especially, that he would, on his journey to Golgotha, still be listening to the Father and saying, "It isn't all over yet. Every opportunity is so important. There are no wasted actions, there are no wasted words. All of it is critically important." And so when I was thinking about that this week and realizing Jesus had such a short time, you know, that's true for all of us. We have such a short time here. In the light of eternity, our whatever span of time we have is really so short, and then we're gone. And our days are numbered. Just did a funeral last week. I always count up the number of days. And Sharon Smith's days were 25,533. Great. But there were 25,533. And when she came to the end of those days, Jesus came to take her to be with him. And her time was over. And it's always a surprise to us when the number of days is up, because he doesn't tell us what the number of our days is. But we have a number of days that have been allotted to us. And so I think, relatively speaking, our time is short. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to figure a bunch of other stuff out. What we need to be doing is looking at the time that we're in now. And what's our situation? What are the conditions we're living in? What are the things around us? What time do I have? What energy do I have? What facility do I have? And to really say, you know what? Every day counts. Every conversation counts. Every silence where there could be disapproval counts. Every hug, every smile, every note of appreciation, it all counts. And we're all very sensitive to those things. And so when I see this, in these last moments of Jesus' life, and he's being so specific about one person. Now, we could extrapolate from that and say, yeah, but, you know, the salvation of Zacchaeus and his household probably meant there was going to be the salvation of thousands. Well, that'd be wonderful, but we don't know that. But our salvation, how many people benefit from this incredible thing that God has done for us? He didn't ignore us. We weren't nobody for Jesus. He made sure that we came to him. He sent out the call, called us down out of our tree or up from our mud puddle or wherever we happened to be at the time, and made time for us, made room for us, included us, and introduced us to the plan of salvation. And so as we come toward the end of this Lenten season and we move towards Holy Week starting next Sunday, could be, you know, my thought was just this week that we would be so conscious of the fact that the number of our days is really short. The opportunities to minister, even in the worst of circumstances, whatever they might be, we still have an opportunity, because Paul makes it clear, it's not our life anymore. It's Jesus' life in us. So Jesus ministers through us all the time. We've been given the Holy Spirit that we could live out that abundance that God gives us. So Jesus takes time for a chief tax collector of all people. And he invites himself and is received. He ignores the social faux pas that he has just created. As a matter of fact, I think Jesus really appreciated the fact that people noticed. And it's like, I can't believe that. Because you know what? Every time you disapprove of something that God chooses, you know what follows? Repentance. Because it was God's plan. God wanted this. God wanted Jesus to go to Zacchaeus' home, in spite of the fact that it was a very awkward thing to do socially. God might ask us to do awkward things socially. He might have somebody that he's choosing for our path that you wouldn't think about, that he wants to love on. And it even might be somebody that we would normally consider like a Zacchaeus, like a social leper, like, no way am I talking to that person. Nobody, no way am I going to include them. But we don't know what God's plan is. So just like Jesus, we listen and we take time to pray. And we take time to hear what he's saying to us, because he just might have one of those appointments for us today. So the amazing thing of this Savior is, even as he is so close to his own death and his own hideous betrayal and arrest and trial and beating and all the rest, still takes time for what I would consider, what Jesus says elsewhere, the least of these. I think Zacchaeus was a least of these to most Jews. And so we might be one of the least of these as well, and we can be thankful that he took time for us. Let's pray together. Father, we come and we are filled with gratitude for the fact that you've included us wherever it is we were when you came our way, when you came looking for us and looking up into the tree and into the ditches and into the alleys or wherever it was. And you included us. And you said, I must come to live at your house. Father, how could we say thank you except living out every day in the midst of our current circumstances and just sharing the abundance of this love that's been given to us? Thank you that nobody is unworthy of notice in your eyes. No one is beyond redemption. Nobody has sinned too much. Nobody is too insignificant to merit your gaze. And so we bless you that you've called us to this place this morning and reminded us again that maybe we are Zacchaeus to some people, and you've included us and chosen us, and you've loaded us up with spiritual blessings in heavenly places beyond our ability to describe. Thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you for including us. Thank you for making a way for us. And so this morning we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.